Welcome to the Manager Mojo podcast. I'm Steve Caldwell, your host, and I want you to know that we provide common sense solutions to management and leadership issues. Now, I am so pleased to let you know that the Mojo Leadership System is now ready for you to check out and enjoy. All you've got to do to find out about what true leadership is to go to managermojo.com. That's managermojo.com. At the top of the homepage, you'll see a big picture of a maze. And when you look at that maze, all you have to do is click on it, and you will be taken to a registration page where you can watch a 10-minute webinar in which I explain the Mojo Leadership System. Now, if you go there and register, the cool thing is there's a special bonus. We're actually going to email you a login to actually review the real live course as soon as you register. So go to managermojo.com and register today. Now to today's topic. Hello and welcome, everybody. I'm thrilled you've joined us today, and I'm really excited about our guest today. We have the dynamic Lane Lawson Craft with us today, and you're going to enjoy her perspective on management and leadership. Now, Lane is a publisher, an entrepreneur, an author, an inspirational speaker, and an all-around just funny and engaging person, and I know you're going to really enjoy her. Lane wrote her first book called Feeling God's Presence in November of 2011, and she has founded a ministry 7 years ago called the Woe Local Ministry that has now exploded into a global community called Woe Women. And she writes weekly as a part of that, and she speaks all over the place and is now hosting a national television show that'll soon be launched, and is working on her second book, which hopefully will come out in fall of this year. Lane is a lady that has a lot of business background and a unique perspective on how to deal with people, and I really think we're all going to learn from that. So, Lane, welcome to the Manager Mojo podcast, and I'm so glad that you joined us today.
I am thrilled, Steve. This is so exciting. I love to share and love to have fun, so I hope we can give your listeners some great tips and maybe get some inspiration today.
That is wonderful. I think we all can use that. So, Lane, if you would, tell us first, before we get into the management questions, tell us a little bit about Woe Women, and that spelled, by the way, guys, W-H-O-A, like Woe Women, and why don't you tell us a little bit about Woe Women and some of the cool things that you're working on right now?
I'd love to, Steve. Currently, we have a national circulated magazine called Woe Women Magazine, and we have had Dolly Parton on our cover. We've had Justin Bieber's mom. We've had Gretchen Carlson from Fox. We've had some superior covers that we are really proud of, so we have that. It's available, of course, on all the iPhones, iPads, all of that, and online, but it's also available at Barnes & Noble bookstores and at retail outlets all over the country, and Family Christian bookstores. So currently, Woe Women Magazine is probably our most powerful entity of the Woe community. We also have a Woe talk show, which is due to air very soon. We're working on TV contracts, and that again is an inspirational talk show. It's a talk show that kind of gives a more conservative view of what we feel, about America and all the topics and current, things going on. And then we have Woe Local, which we soon to satellite nationally, and just all kinds of things, online presence with blogs and social media, and we just love being able to reach out to people and inspire them and to encourage them and to hear their story. It's all based on stories, Steve. Everybody has a story, and what we like to do is share our story, and we have a faith-based, input to that, and we encourage others that they too may be facing something, but they can get through it. So,
awesome.
Yes.
Awesome, awesome. Well, other than that, you don't have anything to do today, huh?
No, not one thing, Steve. Well, not one thing.
Thanks for joining us. Let me just start today by just a little brief background. I know that you have been a businesswoman for quite some time, and that you actually owned both an advertising agency for 17 years, and you even started a wholesale jewelry business. Would you tell us a little bit about your business background and what all went on there?
Sure. You know, Steve, as you can tell, I was blessed with an outgoing spirit. So when I got out of college, I had a dietitian degree, and I did not want to work in the hospital. So back in that day, which was back in the late 80s, there were not very many drugs on the market. And so I really thought I wanted to be a pharmaceutical sales rep. And they kept telling me, you are awesome, but you've got to go get some experience. So I went out of college and worked for a radio station for 6 months selling radio time. And during that time, I made relationships at 22 years old with business owners that inspired me and encouraged me to open up my own ad agency. So at 22 years old, I started my own ad agency, and it was open and thrived for years. And at 9/11, you remember 9/11?
Of course, we all do.
Well, I had three kids in private school. I, you know, household bills, and 9/11 literally just took the breath out of marketing for everybody, and therefore the dollars weren't there. And so I immediately just thought, what am I going to do? And I had always had a love for cross jewelries and things like that. So I researched it, ended up, you'll love this, I used to go to Houston, Texas every Saturday on the red eye from Jackson, Mississippi, and come back on that same day with suitcases, Steve, 4 to 6 suitcases, the biggest ones you can buy, full of jewelry that had been brought in. And I would card that, and I started a business called Lane's Wholesale Jewelry.
I
ended up having a marvelous, marvelous wholesale business that concentrated on hospital gift shops and small retail outlets and even casinos. And so it was terrifically successful, and my husband found success after many years in the oil and gas business, and so I got to take a little break, and as soon as I did, God woke me up one night and said, wait a minute, you got to go to work for me now. And so that's what I do now.
How awesome. Well, I know that, you know, what a great background for business, and I can assure you that you've learned a lot of lessons over the years in terms of dealing with people and really encouraging and motivating them. So if you don't mind, share with everybody maybe a challenge or two that you had in learning how to manage and lead people and grow these businesses. And of course, I know that you use that now even in your ministry work. So
Give
us your perspective on that.
I would love to, Stephen. Ironically, you know, you would think, being the veteran I am, that I would have learned a lot up until this point. I recently, in the last probably year, have made some critical mistakes. So I think this is really important. I really want to encourage those that are out there that are running their own business or thinking about opening a business. The first thing I would tell them, Steve, that I, believe it or not, I've just learned, in the day we live today, we must have contracts with anybody we work with. Just first thing. First thing, I'm talking about a contract that says Steve and Lane are going to work together for this period of time, this is the set amount, blah, blah, blah. I have learned, Steve, people sometimes don't hold their end of the bargain. And if you don't have it in writing, you have nothing to stand on anymore. So my first 101 I would tell anybody is, before you do one business, I'm talking about even at your home, Steve, if you have a air conditioned man coming in, you know, get a contract saying, I'm coming in to do this for this amount of money, and make him sign it.
So you learn that people don't always do what they say.
Correct. And, you know, that's a given. We know that. I mean, that's, you know, that's human nature. But we're at a point in time in business now that you've got to have all your T's crossed.
Right.
You follow me? It's too protect you. It's to protect you from people that maybe weren't going to do it from the very beginning. You follow me? But yep. You've got that piece of paper that you can use and say, but you didn't you sign this? And they go, yes. I say that from my heart. I say that because right there, if you could do that one thing, there's nothing wrong. You know, if you live in the truth, Steve, if you live in the truth, there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, didn't we agree to do this? Yes. Well, do you mind if I put it in writing? Mm-hmm. And do you mind signing it?
Right.
Do you have a problem with that? And if they don't, then you know, man, this is awesome. I'm going to get them to sign it. And then you've got your piece of paper.
Awesome. Well, I can assure you that whether or not you're either in a small business or if you happen to be I talk to people about this all the time in corporate America where, you know, they don't always have written agreements with their employees. But the problem is that they ask people to do things, but they never actually put those things in writing. They just think people are supposed to read their mind.
Correct. And you're talking about job description, aren't you?
Yep.
I mean, they're hired to do one specific job they feel, or that's why they took the job. And then, lo and behold, they get the job, and now they've got these extra requirements.
Yep.
Or vice versa, you know. So there again, wouldn't that be great? Let's just look at that, Steve. If you were employing me and you said, Lane, this is your job description, do you mind signing off on that you agreed this is what you're being hired to do? Look, if that's what you're hiring me to do and that's why I'm working with you, then yes, I'll sign it. Do you see?
Right.
It
well,
just solves a lot of problems.
It's so much easier, isn't it, whenever you really have common ground with somebody else?
Yes. Yes, and if you don't, Steve, you automatically are going to fight a battle. You know, you're already having to work every day and make the living and all of that. Why are you going to create more battles for yourself?
Yeah, that conflict
with one simple
is
piece
no
of paper.
Fun.
No, no.
None
are you ready for my tip number two? You ready for my
I'm
tip
ready.
Number two?
Go for it.
Okay, tip number two. Do a background check on anybody you do business with.
Smart.
I didn't do that.
What's tip three?
Tip three is feel the need. And when I say feel, F-E-E-L, feel the need of others, whether it's a future employer or if it's someone you want to go into business with or if it's indeed a customer, feel their need and then feel it, F-I-L-L, their need.
Oh, cool. So feel it, F-E-E-L. Feel
Correct.
Their need, that a lot of people would call that empathy.
Correct.
And then fill that need, F-I-L-L, which means
Correct.
Solve that problem.
Correct.
Well,
right.
Wow, wouldn't all of our relationships be better if we attacked issues that way?
Well, it would. And really, basically, you can transpose that to business or in just pure relationships. But, you know, how can I sell you a product, Steve, if I don't know what your needs are?
Right.
I can tell you all day on what I can do for you, but if I don't know what your specific personal needs are, then I may miss the mark completely.
Right. Very cool. I like that.
I knew
Very
you
good.
Would.
What else? What?
Oh, I don't know. Just, you know, I could sit here all day. But basically, I would say those top three, if you would do those top three, Steve, and the thing that really is on my heart as I inspire and ignite people to do all that God has for them, but they must protect it. And I would say that's probably been my biggest failure is I didn't protect all of my heart. Hard work. And so, and God's been gracious and things are great, but if I could help someone else, you know, prevent them from not having the contract with the employer or, mm-hmm. you know, not having that contract with someone, a sub that comes into your home and they, my sister recently hired a roofer. And the roofer didn't put the roof on in time and left the tarp half on. Rain came, went through her roof. All her ceilings in her home fell down. And the guy, you know, we can't find him. So, I mean, you know, things happen even in real, you know, home life. So contracts are really good to have. Contracts are really good to have. And a background check because some background checks on a person can show you, hey, have they filed their taxes?
Yep.
Are they accredited in the with their local, you know, Secretary of State? Are they legal? I mean, yes. Just some very important questions that you want to know before you do business with them, even as an employer or as an employee or even as, you know, someone you want to contract out as a subcontractor.
Sure. No question about it. Well, one of the things that I'd like your perspective on, I know that, you know, here you've actually created, you're on your third different business now.
Correct.
So in doing those things, even at 22 years old, you went out on your own.
Correct.
And I like to get, because I'm a father myself, I have two daughters. I think it's wonderful to see women that go out and achieve the success that you have and to go for it. Do you find that women face special challenges in the business world? And if so,
absolutely.
How did you overcome them?
Absolutely. And, you know, Steve, they just come out. I think you've probably seen this latest figure. And excuse me, I can't quote them exactly, but I believe they came from Fox News. But I want to say there's only like three states are very minimal states that are paying women more than men now.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying, women are still not paid equal, okay? I'm not going to start that battle because that's not my battle to fight. But it is a truth, okay? A woman is not being paid equal to what a man's being paid. Follow
right.
me? So, number one, you just take that. Listen, even in the faith-based genre, you know, some people don't look at women as equal to men. Even in, you know, even behind the pulpit, possibly. You follow
right.
me?
Right.
So women do have some things to overcome, but I do know this. This is one thing I have learned throughout the years. If you are anointed and you are gifted to do something, mm-hmm. nothing can stand in your way except for yourself.
Well, let's talk about that for just a moment.
Sure,
because,
sure.
Because I tend to take it and teach people, look, you have to understand what your strengths are.
Right.
And if you don't know what those strengths are, how in the world are you going to serve other people?
Right.
And so when you talk about gifted, are you referring similar to what I talk about with your strengths? Tell us a little bit about your perspective on that.
Okay, sure. Well, you know, there are some things you can't buy. You can't buy somebody to be gregarious and outgoing if they're introverted, correct?
Right.
Right. So that would be a gifting for me, that I'm outgoing. I consider that, yes, a strength, but say some people might see it as a weakness because they never shut up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, but what you look at what you, you know, I love to tell people, what do you love to do? What burns your heart up? What gives you passion for life? Someone may say, well, I love, believe it or not, Lane, you're not going to believe this, I have the special cookie I love to cook. And I go to them, well, start baking some and give them to people and see what they think about them. I mean, you find what you're passionate about. Then you take what you're passionate about and see what in you matches that. Do you follow me? And you just start building that. You start building that. But the biggest thing, Steve, as you and I both know, I'm sure you know, is taking the leap of faith. Everything I've done took me taking the first step, even though it might be an anointing and a gifting. If you never walk it out, if you never tap your toe in the water, then you'll never know.
Yeah, the action is required of every great leader. They have to have actions. It's not enough just to think it. You've got to take an action, and you've got to attack whatever you feel led to attack.
Right, right.
You know,
you were talking
about your passion and the things that you love to do. There's an author that wrote a book. His name is Simon Sinek, and he wrote a book called Start With Why. And really, what he was talking about is that if you really know why you're doing things, then it certainly makes your job as a leader a little bit easier because you understand the passion behind it. And I think have you found the same that I have? A lot of people are taking management or leadership positions, but it's really not their passion. They're doing it just to get a paycheck.
Correct. Correct. And, you know, that's probably the most difficult thing in life, I think, Steve, because there's a reality. We've got to pay our mortgage and our groceries and our gas, okay? But then we've also got to look in the mirror at night and say, you know, am I doing everything I'm created to be and do? So there is a very large struggle. I have a lot of empathy for those that, you know, may not be in their passion, but they're making a paycheck. So, again, what I encourage that person to do today, if they're listening and you're struggling, you're making, you know, a six-figure income, let's say, but you're miserable on the inside, and when you look at the mirror and you lay down your head at night, so what I would, you know, inspire and encourage you to do is start figuring out what is it that makes me tick, and start maybe, you know, reaching out and researching and finding out how that can be maybe matched with a job, maybe without that much money, but fulfilling something that money can't buy, and that is your happiness.
Absolutely. And I just don't understand how anybody can be happy unless they're doing those things that they're really passionate about.
And that's why everybody's so grumpy, Steve.
Yeah.
That's why we have road rage. That's why we have people that are so ugly at the grocery. They'll run over you to check out. I mean, seriously. People are very angry and upset and unhappy. I think a lot of it is because they're not doing what they are gifted and passionate about. But, you know, it could be that nobody's encouraged them to do that. You know, maybe somebody has never said, hey, you're unhappy. What is it? Is it your job? You know, what is it? And then identify what it is, and then, you know, help them and encourage them to overcome that, whether it's a new job or a new perspective or, you know, I think this too, Steve, and I'm sorry I'm preaching now, but if we could just help change perspective. I know at one point, as I share with you, Steve, I've had great success. My husband and I have had tremendous financial, you know, success. Everything that I have done through Well Women have been philanthropic, so you know that. I mean, they are LLCs, but, you know, they're growing businesses, and you don't see a turnkey for quite some time. So the magazine and the television show and all the things you see were seeded by Steve and my personal money, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I say all this to say, you know, there was a time where we were struggling. We were really, really, really struggling, and we just finally had to surrender and just stop and say, wait a minute, let's just go straight to our maker and kind of change our perspective. You follow me? Let's change our perspective and ask him what we need to be doing, because only God can really fulfill you. Right. I don't care what anybody says. I've been on both sides now, Steve. I have had nothing, and I've been hundreds and thousands of dollars in debt, and now I have everything that money could buy. I have homes and all sorts of things. Nothing can buy you happiness. Nothing. No money.
I understand that. And, you know, you're bringing up a great point that really doesn't get talked about much. Now, you're a passionate, faith-filled lady, and you trust God, and yet a lot of my listeners, a lot of people that are in business, you know, it's almost as if they feel like when they go to work, that they have to leave God out of the conversation.
Right.
And I think that that is really, I think it's because people think that, well, if I talk about God, then I'm actually sharing a witness. But yet, if we look at God and we look at God throughout all of the world, it's what do you do? How do you help people? It's your actions that people see God in other people.
Correct. And I say it's living the life, Steve. You got to live the life.
It is. And so I want to encourage people not to be afraid to be who they are, but I want them to understand that other people are looking for you to either demonstrate and live what you believe or not. And I think so many people are unhappy at work simply because their manager never once demonstrates to them that they actually care about them as a person.
Right. And remember, that goes back to that feel.
Absolutely.
You know, that can be from that point of view. You know, do they feel the need of that employee? And are they feeling it? You know, are they giving grace and mercy and all the things that you need every day from management?
So many people, it's an interesting paradigm to me that they think that if I show people empathy, if I'm nice to people, then that actually is showing that I'm weak.
Mm.
Whenever the
it's
actually the opposite, isn't it?
It is. It is. Yes, a strong leader always has a sympathetic, empathetic heart. Absolutely. Hey, without a heart, Steve, what are we? What without a heart for caring for others? What are we really?
Good point.
You know,
that's an excellent point.
And I'm just going to tell you, you know, I'm bold, and I'm going to tell you now, and I will go to my grave telling you, without God in the equation in any part of your life and Him being first in that equation, nothing works. Nothing. Not business, not relationships. Nothing works without God being first in the equation.
Well,
and not this, you know, God that people make, oh, this, you know, tally God that's a, it's a, you know, a religion thing. This is a relationship, you know,
right.
A God that loves you. He created you. There's a purpose He made you for to be here. You know, the God that's got love that will never leave you and never forsake you. So, but I'm just very bold on that, that my husband and I and our business and our personal, our marriage almost fell apart, Steve. After 17 years of marriage, we restored and reconciled our marriage because of the love of God in our lives. And so, you know, you've just got to have God in the mix. You can't have Him at the end of the mix. You got to have Him at the very first of the mix. And then everything you do will fall into place. And I'm not saying it's going to always be easy.
Well,
but
nothing
it,
is
you
ever
know,
easy, is it? It's
no.
Always
no.
Different. Life's meant to be a challenge.
It is. And let me tell you, I've found that it is probably the greatest thing, Steve, that I know you probably have found too. In my darkest hour is when I'm closest to God anyway.
Mm-hmm.
When it doesn't look, when I don't know what the forecast for the business is, and, you know, a lot of people talk about print media and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's at those points that I used to think, oh, you know, this is just a trial and tribulation. Now I realize this is something, I go, what do I need to learn from this? You know, I don't look at it as that's a perspective change. See, I used to look at it as I'm being attacked. Now I go, what do I need to learn from this?
Mm.
So not only I can apply it, but so I can tell somebody else, look, man, let me tell you what I learned.
Absolutely.
So you don't have to go through it.
And what great advice for any leader to ask themselves, what do I need to learn and what do I need to apply? That's great advice for all of us to take in everything that we do, whether it's
yes.
work or home.
Yes, relationships, anything. Yes, absolutely.
Lane, I'm just curious. Do you feel, because you're obviously an outgoing person, and yet a lot of women don't have your ability to just step up and tell people what they think. And tell me, how would you encourage people to be themselves?
Well, you know, Steve, I've got three children, and I've got two boys and a daughter, and
mm-hmm.
they are young adults. Two will be graduating this year, and my daughter will be in 2 years. Specifically, the other day, I looked at my daughter, and I said, you have got to learn to speak up for yourself. And I think that's where it starts. If there's something going on, whether it's at work or home or wherever, and it's not right for you, then you just got to speak up. So I encourage first and foremost, to have a voice, Steve.
Right.
Everybody deserves a voice. Now, we may not agree. Me and you may have a voice, and I may have a voice, and we may agree to disagree. That's great. But at least we both got to voice it. And so I encourage, like your daughters, you know, have a voice.
Mm-hmm.
Have a voice. You know, have that boldness to have a voice. Because everybody is equal. Everybody gets equal time down here. Nobody, you know, God is no respecter of person. So nothing makes you better than anybody else, Steve. So we're all
totally
equal
agree.
Down here.
I totally agree. And
that's important.
Yeah, you know, when you do step up and you claim your own voice, and I find that a lot of managers and a lot of leaders and companies truly don't know what their voice is. They've suppressed their own thoughts for so long that they don't feel comfortable even talking about it. And so I think just listening to you today and actually hearing how bold you are at saying what you believe and expressing your voice is great training and great encouragement for all of us, no matter whether we're in a secular job or spiritual or leadership position in ministry somewhere. It really is all the same. What is your voice? And are you listening, and are you willing to stand up and say what you believe and do?
And listen, let me just add something to that. What do you have to lose, Steve? See, what, you know, that's the
great
way
question.
You know, fear is probably the number one thing that keeps you from acting. Fear is the number one thing that keeps you from speaking. So what I've learned to do is walk out that fear to the end. So let's just say, I can't think of anything real quickly, but because I know we're out of time, but if there's a fear you have, I just encourage you today, do not hold on to it. Surrender it immediately and say, you know, I don't own this. I'm going to give it to you, God, and move on. But my point to you is, if you don't speak up, that's the biggest failure. Is my passion? What is it going to hurt for me to be bold today? Nothing. Somebody might be offended. Somebody might not completely understand me, but I did it in love. You know, so I have nothing to lose. So I encourage anybody that is frightful or has fear to really get a handle on that. It's false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real, and so walk it through and walk it out, and you'll see. I always say, Steve, go to the worst case scenario, and you know what? You kind of go, when you get to that worst case scenario, you go, well, that's not so bad, and then it gives you encouragement and strength to be bold.
Absolutely,
the worst is not so bad.
Well, I'll tell you. Lane Lawson Craft, what a great conversation today. That's a great place to end it. Let's be bold. Let's be ourselves. Let's be the leaders that we were meant to be. And I want to thank you, and I want to wish you the absolute most success through the Woe Women Network. And we look forward to seeing you when you get your national show air.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. And Lane, what's the best way for people to connect with you?
Sure. So there are several ways. I'm Twitter at Lane Craft. I have a website, Lane, L-A-I-N-E, LawsonCraft.com.
Awesome.
And then, of course, WhoaWomen.com, WhoaWomen.com. You can buy the magazine there. You can sign up for my weekly letters, Woe Notes, and you can get magazine subscriptions and blogs and all you need. So, Woe Women at Facebook.
I want to encourage our leaders, our listeners today, to do that very thing. And Lane, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been a real pleasure.
Absolutely. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks for joining me today on the Manager Mojo podcast. Let's rock the world. Please encourage your friends to subscribe to the podcast, and I would love for you to share and connect with me on social media. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And don't forget to pick up your free copy of Manager Mojo, Be the Leader Others Want to Follow, by going to managermojo.com and signing up to get your free gifts. Until next time, I encourage you to exercise your mojo and become the leader that others want to follow.